Okay, so good morning. This is Matt Smith. I'm here with my dad, Sidney A. Smith. We are in his home in Logan, Utah. Today is March 11th, 2017. And so this resumes kind of the series of interviews that we're doing. The last interview that we had was on December 24th. And so a few months have passed. And so we are up in my dad's house in Logan, 1737 Country Club Drive. And I'm here with my dad. So, Dad, thank you again for being willing to spend a little time with me this morning, and let me interview you. I drove up early this morning. It's 7 o'clock. Mom's off at doing temple work, and we're here just kind of quiet, beautiful spring morning. So, Dad, thanks again for your time.
Thanks for coming up, Matt.
So, last time, Dad, we talked about your military service. How you came home from the military, Bishop called you in, interviewed you or asked you if you wanted to serve a mission, and you told me how you came home. Your mom was asking you, you know, what you met with the bishop about, and you kind of put her off a couple times, and then she finally got it out of you. So tell me about, you know, the downstream series of events, kind of what proceeded from that time. And so you got your mission call.
Well, mother and dad were very positive about me going. I had told them that I didn't have enough money, you know, to go.
Yeah.
To serve the 2 years.
Yeah.
But they were willing to finance what I didn't have, for which I was very grateful. By that time, of course, I had a testimony of the gospel. And I wanted to share it, and I was willing to go anywhere they wanted to send me. So with that knowledge, then I told the bishop that I was willing to go if they wanted to send me.
Was it a hard sell for the bishop to you, or did he just say, I think you should serve, and you said, okay? Or, you know, what went through your mind? Do you remember?
No, I had a bishop who was... I knew he had a testimony. He was very strong.
Yeah.
He had a counselor by the name of Rex Thompson, who at that time was a delivery man for the postal service.
Yeah.
And was a great guy and a good friend, and knew how to handle young men well. And he handled me beautifully, and he was really excited about my acceptance of the
gospel.
The mission call.
Yeah.
So I was off and running. I just had to put my papers in, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was ready to go whenever they wanted to send me.
Yeah. So, and then what, 2 weeks later or a month later, do you recall how long it took back in those days to get your call?
I don't remember exactly how long it took for me to get the call, but I do remember that it came promptly. And I remember how surprised I was when I opened it up and... there it was, to South Africa.
Did you call your family around, or did you just open it by yourself? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. But you opened it up, and it said, you called to serve in the South Africa mission.
Yeah, in the Republic of South Africa. And I said, where's that? I knew it was somewhere on the African continent.
Yeah.
But I knew, I didn't know anything about the history of South Africa or the Beatles or anything.
So yeah.
I was delighted to go, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have felt the same. I think I would have felt the same if I'd have gone to New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Wouldn't have made
much
difference. I was ready, spiritually prepared to serve at that time.
And your mom and dad were excited for you to go. And
we didn't talk much about those kind of things.
You didn't. That
when our family, you know, mother was anxious.
Yeah.
Because her child or baby was going on a mission.
Okay.
Going away. She just got me home from the service.
Yeah.
I'd been gone for 2 years there. So she was a little anxious for me to go, but she was fine. Her dad was fine with it.
Yeah.
Dad didn't say two words about it, so. That's what you want to do.
This was what you want to do? Go do it.
Yeah.
Did you get encouragement from your siblings? Were they happy? Were they, you know, do you remember how they reacted to your mission call?
I really had two groups of siblings and friends.
Yeah.
My siblings were all shrug the shoulders, and that's interesting.
Indifferent, kind of.
But indifferent. But my friends were two groups. I had those who were interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And those who really expressed no interest. And yeah. And I hung around primarily with those who have no interest. That's the kind of life I was living when I left. So.
Yeah.
And I told them, I remember, down to the Cactus Club.
Yeah, in Logan.
It was a beer hall.
Yeah.
Nice place down the basement in some building. And I told them I was going, and at first they all poo-pooed, and they didn't believe that was true. But they were all supportive of me.
Yeah.
And they all came to my farewell.
They did.
Yeah. The place smelled like a pool hall. But it they all came, and they were great. I didn't have anybody that
really
made fun of my call.
Yeah, that's good. So you were probably, what, 21 at this time, or 20, 21?
21.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So you were a little older. You went, do you remember when you went to the MTC? Kind of what month and year?
I don't.
No, okay. And then you went down, got set apart down at Church Office Building, or how did that work back then?
Yeah, they, I remember getting on the bus at Dick's Cafe in Logan.
Okay.
Mother and Dad putting me on a bus.
Okay.
Which deposited me in Salt Lake.
Okay.
I don't remember how I got from the bus depot to the MTC.
Okay.
I remember getting into the MTC, and there were a bunch of us there. There weren't nearly as many, of course, then as there are now.
So MTC was in Salt Lake City back then?
Yeah, it was in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And it was in a building that's across the road from what is now the Church Office Building.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And I pulled in there. They told me what to do, and we spent, I got there one day. We spent the rest of that day and the following day doing things that they needed to do to get ready, missionaries ready.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting with the general authorities and having interviews with them.
Okay.
They were very kind, very polite, made me feel very comfortable. That night I was alone, the last night I was alone, and I went over, they had the Tabernacle Choir was
rehearsing or something,
and I had never really heard the Tabernacle Choir
before. Is that right?
I mean, I'm sure I had
on the, radio, on the radio or whatever,
but I don't remember ever really hearing them. But I went in there by myself. There weren't many people there listening to them, so I just found a quiet place in the main part of the MTC. It's interesting how I remember that so clearly. And sat there alone, listening to them sing, and thought it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I was really touched. I was really in tears. Listening to them sing, I thought it was just beautiful. And then there was no other missionary with me. I was alone. And then when the performance had ended, when their practice had ended, then I crossed the street, went back to my room, and the next morning, there were two of us that, it started out with a group, and as we traveled cross country, then we dropped part of the group off.
Okay.
And so the group got smaller as we went, and finally we got to New York and got the plane, and there were two of us that flew to Europe, and I think I was the only one that flew
to South Africa.
Interesting.
Do you remember who set you apart as a missionary? Did that happen in Logan, or did that happen down at the MTC?
No, that happened at the MTC.
Okay.
I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, okay. So, and how long were you in the MTC back in those days? Was it like a couple of days, or was
it was 2 days.
2 days, that's it.
That was it.
Wow.
Two days,
just to kind of thing, and then process just, paperwork, make sure you had your passport in order, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you were interviewed.
Okay.
I remember the interview, and then put on a plane and
shipped out. So it wasn't much training. It was more There wasn't any training.
Oh, okay. You were just sent out.
I see.
And when I got to South Africa, of course, a long trip. Then,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So you took a bus across the country or?
No, I flew.
You flew to New York or?
Flew to New York.
Uh huh.
And then from New York over to Europe.
And then down. Yeah,
it seemed like we stopped it in Italy.
Okay.
And then we flew to what is now Zaire.
Okay.
And then that was interesting because when you got off the plane, they were all soldiers. It was turmoil as it always is.
Oh, wow.
Is.
Okay.
So they were all soldiers. You know, I had been raised primarily, although in the army I had been around black people and
yeah, sure.
I had no prejudice. I never had any prejudice, so I didn't have any problem with that. They were just friends, and then when I got to Zaire, I was just around in that environment. But we were only there long enough for plane change. It was just a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And then we flew down to Cape Town.
Cape Town, okay.
Flew into Cape Town, and my mission president and his wife met me there.
They did.
And
do you remember who that was?
Old Leighton Aldridge.
Okay.
He was. It may have been President Fisher. I think it was Fisher first. Fisher's the one who met me.
Okay.
Elder Fisher. He was Canadian.
Okay.
There, almost everybody who went there were Canadians.
Okay.
When I got there. And so it was Fisher, a great guy. I only met him once, I think. We went to the mission home. And he had, he put me in a room. And it was dinner time. And so I came down and there were some other missionaries there.
Yeah.
And we had dinner, and we were having dinner. There must have been six or seven, and the mission presidents and the mission president and his wife. And I said, "Where am I going?" And everything went quiet.
You wanted to know.
You didn't ask them.
You didn't ask that.
You were in the culture of the mission was that you just kept your mouth shut and they told you what to do. And I says, "Where am I going?" And the president kind of looked up and smiled and told me where I was going and everything. And I finished having dinner. And the next morning I was, they put me in a car I guess they put me on a bus. Yeah, they put me on a bus. I was going to, midnight. My first stop was on the east coast of Africa. It's funny that it was still in my mind right now. It'll come back.
Did you get your companion in the mission home, or
no?
Did
I
you,
met him there. I was
you
alone.
Met him there. Okay.
And on the way, on the way, the bus stopped. I was on a train and bus.
Okay.
You changed.
Yeah.
Because it was a long, empty place. And I got on the, and their bus stopped, and they had Africans dancing. It was terrific experience.
Yeah.
They had the African dancing, and I got off the bus. Everybody got off the bus.
Okay.
And I went over, and I was really interested in the dancing of the people, and I got talking to some of the natives there, and they invited me, and I was in doing dances. I was dancing with them in these tribal dances.
Uh-huh.
And
of course, you probably fit right in with white shirt and tie and everything.
Yeah, and so the some of the people on the bus who were South Africans, but white.
Yeah.
They came and got me and said, "You can't do that here. You know, you'll end up in jail."
Mm.
And so they were kind enough to take me out.
To tell you, yeah.
I didn't know what the culture was.
Right.
So they took me out of that. I remember that very clearly. And they took me out of that troubled area. And I went back and got on the bus and we left. And I got my first... golly. It's funny, I can't remember.
Do you remember who your first companion was?
No.
No. Was he...
He was white.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody, the missionaries were white. We could only preach to the white.
Do you remember if he was local or?
No. He was
somewhere else from Utah or something.
I think he was Californian.
Okay.
No. He was English.
English. Oh, really?
English. Yeah.
Oh,
he was English. Yeah, he was English. Nice guy. Good. He's a good guy. He didn't stay with me more than a month or something.
Okay.
And I got another companion who was American, and he was lazy.
Okay.
But I was an old drill sergeant in the Army.
Yeah.
And I said, "As long as you're with me, you work." And he said, "What?" And I says, "I'm the senior companion." And I says, "No, listen. I says, as long as you're with me, you work." And he kind of blew me off, so I grabbed hold of his shirt and pinned him up against the wall. I said, "You don't have to do anything, but you have to be with me. That's one of the rules of the mission." So I said, and I banged him against the wall. He's bigger than I was.
Yeah.
But I had just come out of the military.
You're
so
pretty tough and strong.
So I thought I was stronger than I was. And I pinned him against the wall, and I said, "Do you understand that? You with me, you work." And we got along fine. But we went out and worked. It was a beautiful part. I just loved the world and loved that part of the world.
Did you ever, once you got to South Africa, think, "I made a mistake by coming on a mission"?
Never.
Never felt like that.
Never.
Did you ever feel homesick? Did you ever? You had been out, obviously, for a while, so.
So I'd been gone for 2 years.
Yeah.
In the army, and our family was, that's the kind of culture we had in the family. So I was fine.
You were. By the way, how much time passed between the time you got home from the military and the time you went on a mission? Was it a month or was it quite a while?
I don't remember. It seemed like me like it was. I'd have to look at the records. But it seemed to me like it was a half year.
Okay. First time you went through the temple, was it before the mission in those days, or was it after?
No, it was.
It was before.
It was before. It was. I'm not sure the question, but it was. I went to the temple just prior to leaving on the mission.
On your mission, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
I think that's right.
Yeah. When did you first get asked to serve on your mission in a position of leadership? Did you serve in branch leadership capacities or,
That's an interesting question because my first place was Durban.
Okay, Durban.
Durban. Yeah. It was on the coast, on the East Coast, beautiful area.
Yeah.
We had missionaries there. There weren't many of us there, but there were a few missionaries and... I was just a junior companion at first, and then I took over a companionship, and then they moved me to Port Elizabeth, which was on the east coast of Africa, down a couple of days. I served there as a district leader. And then they surprised me and moved me to Cape Town. I think I went from there to Johannesburg.
Okay.
And I was leadership there. I don't even remember exactly what I was. And then I had about a year and 3 months, something like that, left. And they moved the mission home from Cape Town to Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
and sent me down to the Cape to run the Cape.
Oh, I see.
So I had been out less than a year, and I really didn't know what I was doing. But that's where all the missionaries were. It was in Cape Town.
Oh, Cape Town.
That's where the mission home had been.
Okay.
And that's where the growth of the church had been.
Yeah.
And so, all I knew how to do was to work.
Yeah.
That's all I knew how to do. And we would meet and...
What were the wards and branches like? Were they large? Were they small? Were they primarily, very small branches, do you recall?
They were, there were few, and they were a little larger, as I remember. Little larger branches. And they were widely scattered.
Uh-huh.
You know, at Cape Town, they were more consolidated. Yeah, but we had some scattered outside the Cape Province.
Province? Yeah, okay.
And so I had missionaries scattered all around. We didn't have many in our, what you would call a zone nowadays. I think we had probably 12 or 20, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
Didn't have many missionaries.
What were some of the most memorable experiences and or lessons that you learned from your mission service in Africa?
Of course, I learned the gospel.
Yeah.
Because, I had not been active in church.
Yeah. So you had time to study and learn and.
So I got up an hour before everybody else.
Okay.
I always did. That was just my pattern. Got up an hour before anybody else, and I went to bed about an hour after everybody else.
And what did you do with that extra time?
Study.
Just learn.
And study.
Yeah.
And I carried my scriptures with us. I didn't have any trouble meeting people, making appointments, teaching the gospel, but I really didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to gear up to where I was really fluent. I was fortunate that I had never had any immoral experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was a vessel that the Lord could fill pretty easily. And so I understood the principles of the gospel when I learned them.
Yeah.
And I've always had the ability to teach them so that people understood. Well, I'm not saying I was good at anything. I'm saying I think the Lord worked through me well. The interesting thing is that I never heard from the mission president.
Yeah. Today, I think at least when I was a missionary, you would write letters weekly to the mission president, right?
You're right, but he never responded. And I had the most missionaries of any area in the mission.
Yeah.
Even more than Johannesburg. I had more missionaries.
Okay.
I had the most missionaries, and we had the most baptisms, and I think we were very disciplined. I didn't have a whole lot of the problems I had were just guys that didn't know, had never worked before.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to work.
Yeah.
It was a strange experience for them. But we had that, but, so my experience as a leader was just learning myself and then just do what the Lord tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it, and he'll work through us. That was the only thing I could do. I couldn't teach him techniques and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was all just get it done.
Did you feel that you were successful in teaching a fair number of people, or did you feel discouraged because the people were not listening? What kind of feelings and thoughts did you have about, just the success you were having?
I had no concept of what success was.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know. I mean, is this? I just heard that missionaries, it was tough and you had to work. And the number of baptisms were few. We had more, I don't know. I have been told by those who knew, who said they knew because they worked in the office, that I baptized more than any other missionary.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I understood the principles of the gospel and how they fit and how it worked. And so we baptized quite a few people. The problem that you have is that you're just getting other kids to work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you were older, more mature, and
They all looked at me like I was older and
knew wiser. What I was doing. Yeah.
And I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would get up at 3 a.m. And catch a bus or whatever I could to get out, and I would work with the missionaries. If a missionary wasn't working, I'd work with him all day, and then I'd have to catch a bus.
Yeah.
Get back and.
And so, what would you do to help him work? I mean, what kind of techniques
go out and
did
work.
You? Yeah, just teach him to.
Just go out and here's what we do.
Here's what we do.
And there was I remember there was one kid, from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Great guy, handsome kid, and they had him when he first came in the mission. They had him going around. He had a great voice, and so they had a quartet, and it was going around singing.
Singing, yeah.
You know, and I guess that gave. I'm not criticizing that kind of activity. It's just that it wasn't what I was going. This is why you're here in Cape. You work.
Yeah. And work to you meant go knock on doors, yeah, talk to people.
You were knocking on your first door at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
You're not traveling to your area.
Yeah.
You're knocking on your first door at 9 o'clock in morning. And you knock on your last door at 9 o'clock at night.
So that was kind of the nature of your missionary work. There's a lot of door knocking and street contacting.
And you just wandered all day long. And
yeah.
And I had detailed records of who you, what appointments you have.
Yeah.
And the problem that we had was that we'd fill up the appointments. Now what are you going to do? Because, you know, people would be working during the daytime.
Right.
And your evenings were full.
Yeah.
And you couldn't schedule, you know, more than a week and a half or 2 weeks out.
Sure.
So you had every night, every weekend scheduled. Where do you put people that you meet? So, you know.
Yeah, right.
So there were lots of issues.
Today, the church publishes, of course, manuals, Preach My Gospel, and the missionary discussions. Back then, did they give you any curriculum, or did they just say, here's your scriptures, go teach people?
They had a program. The moniker, I don't remember exactly what it was.
But there was some kind of structured
process that you had six lessons.
Okay, so you had six lessons.
Six lessons that you taught.
Okay.
And then you expanded on that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember as a kid, this goes back to our time in Arizona. There was you used to have a book that was kind of a black and white South Africa book, and. I don't know if it was a coffee table book. It seemed to be, now that I think about it. But it had a lot of photos, and it always fascinated me because you would talk about South Africa, and so that book became, you know, what I envisioned that your mission was like. So that was pretty fun for me as a young boy. What was the most difficult thing about your mission?
Probably be having to be with someone all the time.
Okay, just nonstop being with your companion.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Because you like your solitary
moments.
Space and moments. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I prefer that. And it was difficult when I was around someone who didn't want to work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They wanted to fool around.
Yeah.
Although, you know, when they think about it, you know, Saturday afternoon became our
preparation day.
Saturday afternoon was when we met with the missionaries.
Okay.
So we would meet Saturday. I don't remember exactly what time, but it was something like noonish, and we would have a 2-hour meeting, and it was really structured. Everybody better be prepared. But then when it was over, then we all went out to eat.
Okay.
And to a movie, maybe.
Oh, you did?
Find a movie.
Yeah.
And then break it up and go home.
Could you go to the beach back in those days?
Yeah, or? We spent a lot of time on the beach.
You could? Yeah. Could you get in the water back then?
Oh, yeah. We swam in the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, and it was interesting because we played in the water.
Yeah.
And we had, we had quite a few sisters.
Uh-huh. Sister missionaries.
Sister missionaries.
Interesting.
And then a bunch of elders. And we'd have this meeting, and, you know, there was a time, I had no idea how to be a leader.
Yeah.
You know, I was learning. I mean, I thought I'd learn something in the Army. But I would get irritated in a meeting that they weren't prepared.
Yeah.
You know, if I got in there and I say, all right, let's, then Elder Jones and Elder Smith, why don't you get up there and give us the first discussion?
Yeah.
Elder Jones will be the investigator. And if he couldn't do it right, I'd get really irritated. I'd say, look, if you guys aren't going to do the work, there's no reason for us to even be here. Let's go home.
Yeah.
You know? And there were times when I shut down a meeting. I said, it's enough of this meeting. Everybody go home. And I think it's how stupid it sounds. It's worse. But I said, you know, let's go home. This is what we do.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, there's no reason for us to be here.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
And I dismiss everything.
Yeah.
Everybody look at me and I say,
yeah.
Go on, get out of here. I don't want to see it.
What kind of feelings did you have? You said your dad was funding your mission.
Yeah.
How did that make you serve differently, or did it affect how you approached your service? You know, did you know that your dad was making a sacrifice and feel like you had a duty or an obligation to do that, or was you served just the way you did because that's the way you thought you should?
You know, I would like to say that because he was involved in my mission, my dad was a great honorable man. And he was, I really admired him, and mm-hmm. I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was quiet. The fact that he financed part of my mission, I don't think made any difference to me.
It didn't. Okay.
I just figured that was his, what he chose to do.
Yeah.
This was his church.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so if that's what he wanted to do, that I didn't, I was careful with my money because they were growing up with heavy
yeah.
money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was careful with my money, but, I just used it the best way I knew how.
Yeah. Did you, on your mission, did you teach mostly, this is probably a naive question, but was it all white?
Yeah, you couldn't.
You can proselyte to.
You didn't proselyte. In fact, I may have been on the edge of being civil disobedient.
Okay.
You know, I have always had a warm spot in my heart for people of color.
Okay.
And I think the natives knew that I really loved them.
Yeah.
It wasn't show.
Yeah. Would they attend your church meetings or?
No.
No, they weren't. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was really a white church in.
It's all it was. Yeah, you
South can, Africa.
You know, they were different than whites.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. It really wasn't healthy.
Yeah, interesting.
Did
that bother you?
In our subsequent missions, then you know.
Yeah, did that bother you as a missionary?
Yeah,
it did.
Mm-hmm. It didn't. There was no. There were a question about whether it made the gospel true or not true.
Yeah.
Or whether God loved all of His children.
Yeah.
It was a question. In my mind, I resolved it. It was man's question. And the church, in order to survive, adopted it.
I see.
And so I just said, if this is what it takes to reach some, that's what we'll do.
I see. Interesting. So
because all our housemaids, you know, people that cook care. See, we didn't, as missionaries, we didn't have to clean the house.
Oh, you didn't. You had maids.
We had maids.
Did people cook your meals?
We lived with members.
You did. Okay.
And we would live in one of the rooms.
I see.
So if a family had an extra room, they'd rent it out. Missionaries would rent it.
Oh.
And And the servants would clean the rooms for us. And
I see.
And they had people that prepared the food. And
would you eat breakfast and dinner with the family, the host family? Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sat at the table and ate.
Okay.
And enjoyed the families.
I bet you learned a little bit from, you know, family life just by watching other families time.
It was great. Yeah, you know, you learned to love those families.
Yeah.
They were great. And the only thing I wish I had known, you know, I was still a kid and I didn't know that you took every opportunity to teach.
Yeah.
You know, and rather than to do that, I would just join in the conversation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I was in Port Elizabeth or Cape Town or Johannesburg, wherever I may be, I mean, I was talking about their country and mm-hmm. about them as people.
Yeah.
And they seemed to be attracted to me and I to them. And so I just enjoyed their company and it was fun. But if I were to do it again, I would approach life differently.
Take more opportunities to do what? Teach more?
I would focus on teaching. Take every opportunity. If people, you know, you become friendly with them, lead every conversation into a gospel conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I had the capability at that time to do that.
Yeah.
But that's what you should do.
Yeah. So you were there for 2 years, of course.
Yes.
And mission president says, Elder Smith, time to come home, time to be done with your mission. And how did you feel about that? Were you ready to move on, or did you say, man, this is great experience, I'd love to stay? Or what kind of went through your mind, you remember?
I had a good experience on mission. It was tough, it was challenging. I only saw my mission president when I came.
Mm-hmm.
He came through the mission with the general authority once when I was in, after I'd moved to Cape Town.
Yeah.
So I met him once. It was like a 5 minute or less.
Why do you think you didn't see him? Was he just busy with other activities, or
I can't
was he sick? You don't know.
I sent reports.
Uh-huh.
He never commented. He never called me.
It's very different from today.
He never came down. Oh, yeah. Just totally different. And then when I knew that it was my time was up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I got a call one day from the mission office saying that Elder so-and-so was going to be arriving by train. Would I pick him up? He would be my replacement.
Yeah.
And that a letter was following with that information, and it had my tickets to go home.
Okay.
I had told the office, I didn't want to fly directly home. I wanted to travel. I wanted to tour Europe.
Okay.
I tour Africa. And then tour Europe. And then go home. There.
And they were okay with that.
Oh, yeah. That was,
did you pay for that, or they paid for it?
They must have paid for it.
Interesting.
Because I got on the ship in Cape Town, and I went to Durban, which is my first area that I had served in, and the mission president came and said goodbye to me.
Yeah.
They're on the deck of the ship.
That was it? Oh, yeah.
That was it. And then it took me a month to go, or longer, to go up the east coast of Africa. We'd sail for a day.
And it's port, stop in the port.
Stop in the port, and I'd go inland. And
Were you wearing missionary attire, or were you kind of, you know, you're done, and did you remember?
You know, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
That's interesting.
Offhand, I don't think I was in missionary attire. I don't think I was wearing a...
Did you even need to wear a suit and tie?
I don't think I wore anything of that, because when we landed in Italy, it was a month or so on the coast, and then when I landed in Italy, then I got on a train and buses and went around Europe.
Okay.
And I don't think I was wearing any
name tag or missionary?
No, I don't think so.
Did you wear name tags back in those days?
Yeah, we wore name tags.
You did.
Yeah.
So you went up the coast of Eastern Africa.
Yeah.
And then you hit Italy. And then from then over, you worked your way through
Suez, you know,
Western Europe.
All through that.
Okay.
And went through, you got to go off in Italy, and then went through Western Europe.
Yeah.
And then I remember being in France and going across the channel, you know.
Is that right?
And to England and caught a plane and...
Came home.
Flew home, and I remember landing...
flew to New York or something like that?
Flew
or
to New York.
And then flew to Salt Lake.
And then flew to Salt Lake, and then got a bus. My parents had no...
You didn't communicate and say, hey, no, honor about this day, I'll be home.
No. I don't remember telling him any idea when I'd be home.
Yeah.
Because... And then when I landed in Salt Lake City and got a bus and came to Logan, and you know, I had my duffel bag.
Yeah.
And left it there. It used to be at you remember where Dick's Cafe is in Logan? It used to be on the east side.
Uh-huh.
That was where the bus depot was. I left my bag there, and I was walking over to my dad owned a men's clothing store.
Yep.
And I was walking to the store, and mother and her friend were walking along the street. And I said, hi, Mom. And then went over to see Dad.
What was your mom's response?
Oh, my gosh. She threw her arms around me, and it was great. And then went into the store and saw Dad and said hello to him.
What was his response?
Nice to have you home, son.
That was it? He didn't give you a big hug or anything like that? Or
you know, I remember Dad gave me a hug and kiss when they put me on the bus to go to South Africa. And I was really surprised.
He wasn't affectionate in that
way. He wasn't affectionate in that way, you know. But he gave me a big hug and a kiss and told me good luck. And Dad had a testimony in the gospel. But it wasn't... Yeah, he just
wasn't his style.
Demonstrable and that sort of thing. So when I came home and he said, how are you? And I said, I need a car, so I'd go down and get my bag and take it home. And he let me drive, let me have his car. I hadn't driven a car in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which was okay. And I went over and picked up my suitcase and went home.
I went home.
And then I had to get registered for school.
So this must have been spring, summertime, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. It seemed to me like I was going to be late for school.
I see. So it must have been kind of late summer, maybe.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly. Huh.
We got about 2 minutes left on this little segment here.
Okay.
How did it feel kind of driving into Cache Valley? Was that kind of
It's great.
Fun?
It's great coming home, you know. It felt better, I think, coming home from the military.
Did it?
Than it felt coming home from the mission.
Yeah.
Although I felt good because I felt as though I had served well.
Yeah.
You know, I really focused all the time that I was, I don't remember having any down times on my mission.
Yeah.
I mean, there were struggles.
You worked hard really and struggled. Felt like you made the most of it.
Yeah, I really felt good about my service
as
a missionary.
That's great. Let's stop there. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. That's a lot of talking.
No, that's great, Dad. I really appreciate it. So we'll stop here and we'll pick it up again.
Okay. Thanks for coming all the way up.
Sure.